used this illustration or object lesson that I am about to borrow from him. He was talking to his class about the important things in life and how sometimes life almost seems like it is too much to handle. Everything from there not being enough time in the day, enough money in the bank, enough wisdom to figure out all of the relationship issues or whatever may come our way. And so he gave them the illustration that he called the jar and a cup of coffee. He let a softball represent God in our lives. He's first, he should be the largest, and he should be first. And so he's in our life, first of all. Of course, the jar represents our life. Then there was another important factor of life, and that is our family. First thing that God instituted before government or even the church was our family. And that's certainly a part of our lives, and it certainly does demand and take up and deserve a portion of the space of our life. And then he said there are many other important things in life. And your finances, and you could name a whole list of things, friends, and maybe occupation, or maybe education, just many other things that are not wrong or not bad, but are important to our life and can help us to be better in life. And then there are other things that are smaller that really do matter. Things like, okay, I want to make sure I've got a good income and make sure I'm prepared for my family, for the future, and myself and others. And there could be a whole host of other things that could be represented by the smaller things. And then there are even more minute, you couldn't call them unimportant, but you could probably call them the small stuff. And by the way, that feels pretty full, and it's looking pretty full, and as you can see, there's a little bit of room, so there's a lot of other small things in the small stuff. The small stuff. We talk about the small stuff. The way things are positioned here and the way things went into our life or things went into the jar, I think you can pretty well say, and there's a little bit of room, but there's not room for too much else in there. It's full, and that's the way life is. If we spend all our time and energy on the small, if I would have put the sand in first, could have filled the jar, there would not have been room for God, family, other things that would be needful and would be important. So it's so important that we pay attention to the big things. And of course, from Scripture, from our experience in God, the big thing is God, and putting Him first is so important. Take care of all of those things, but make sure you put God in first. Oh, and the cup of coffee that he used, here's what he said, and I probably agree. While it does look pretty full, there's always time and room for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And the professor, I think, hit on a very important truth. It's important for us to make the right choices because we all live a crowded life. Our schedules are crowded, and I could probably go around this room today and take a poll, and there would be responses that, yeah, I've still got some things to do, maybe even later tonight, or some things that were unfinished from today's business I'm going to have to take care of. Our schedules are crowded. Our finances get crowded. There are so many needs and wants. Our physical strengths and our abilities get crowded, get demanded. And so it's important that we have the right priorities and order our lives right. This full, crowded lifestyle calls for us to make the right decisions. And I would just offer up front, the right decisions are not always easy decisions. How do we order our lives? What do we put in first? But God wants us to make the right decisions, and we need to know how to make room for the best things and the right things in life. Now, priorities are important in every area of life. It's important that they be set in our personal life, in family, in career, in spiritual life. So in this dilemma of the busy and full lifestyles, those things need not overwhelm us. Do they press us? Yes. But crowded life and busy life does not need to overwhelm us to cause us to throw up our hands emotionally or even physically. Because God in his word, and this is what's so great about God, in his word, he has taught us how to make room for the right things. His spirit, his word, the leadership he puts in our lives can and should be the basis and the guiding force in setting and saying, here is what is important in my life. Now, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the very familiar teaching of Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, seek his right values. Seek his right principles. Seek his right way of doing things. Seek first the kingdom. Everything that attends to the kingdom, its laws, its kingdoms, its ways. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And here's the blessing. All these things shall be added unto you. And he had talked about other things that we could seek after in this life, taking care of our own selves. But he said, if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these other things would be added. When God talks about first in Scripture, you could probably, most likely, in most cases, know that he is referring to priorities. When he talks about first, you could insert the word priority or priorities. In other words, God wants us to give him, he just comes right out here, says it here and in other places, God wants us to give him first ownership. And the option, our option toward him should be giving him our best. I put this in the notes. If your relationship with God and service in his kingdom is not a priority, then all these other things, that's the phrase Jesus used, all those other things will mean absolutely nothing when you achieve those things or fulfill those things. And we've observed that, and we've heard the testimony where it looks like having all of these things will satisfy and fulfill, but they will mean absolutely nothing. William Law said, if you have not chosen the kingdom of God first, in the end it will make no difference what you have chosen instead of the kingdom. In order for us to truly be able to enjoy the fruits of our efforts in education, in job, in family, you just name any one of the other things. To really be able to truly enjoy the fruits of those, and God wants us to, we must place our relationship and walk with God first. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom, he is not prohibiting us from being blessed and enjoying the other things in life. Family, education, finance, whatever those other things might be. But he is saying, put your relationship with me first of all. Walk with God, walk with me first. And we cannot afford to be distracted or entangled in anything that will lead us away from that one commitment. The consequences are too great, both in this life and in eternity. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, all the other things, and lose his own soul? Here's the thing we can settle in our mind. God is not iffy about this. He wants to be first priority. And it really doesn't matter so much what I say or what you say about that. The bottom line is, he wants to be. I could preach that and preach that and teach that and teach that, and you could believe that and believe that. But whether we believe it or not, the truth remains, God wants to be first priority. In fact, you could say he expects to be first in our life. Now, priorities and purpose are closely tied together, our purpose. We have a purpose. And when I say we, I'm not only talking about the church collectively. I'm talking about you and I individually. And so you could personalize this and take this statement, put the pronoun I in it, and say, I have a purpose. The purpose of a clock is to measure time. Purpose of a vehicle is for transportation. The purpose of a musical instrument is to play music. But our purpose, the human purpose, is to love God, to serve God, and to please God. Let's talk about pleasing God first of all. What we're doing tonight is just boiling down our purpose into a couple of simple elements and simple truths. Pleasing God is a part of our purpose. When you look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, that answers the question, what is our highest purpose? A praise statement is made by those that are worshiping him here in heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And in eternity, they are looking back and they are reminiscing, and then they are summarizing, here's what our purpose is. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And then he gives the reason that they've been created. And for thy pleasure, or for thy pleasing, they are and were created. We have been created for the pleasing of God. So part of our purpose is to please him. The first questions when we ask about how we live for God and how much should we devote to him, the first questions are not, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Do I have to be more righteous and holy and more faithful than so and so? Why do I have to obey so many commandments or any commandments? How much prayer and fasting and reading of his word do I need to do? The main question is this: what can I do to please him? It's very simple. to ask. It's more difficult to fulfill. What can I do to please him? And once we find that out, and it is plainly spelled out in Scripture what we are to do, then here's what we should do. Do everything that we can with all of our energy, with all of our focus, with all of our priority to fulfill that objective of pleasing him. We can take examination. We can take a look at ourselves. Say, okay, my purpose is to please God. How am I doing pleasing God? And again, he spells out in Scripture, we'll talk about some of these things that he wants us to do. But the main priority of your life is to please the Lord God Almighty. Another part of our purpose, it's multifold, this our purpose, but the second basic purpose is to love and serve God unreservedly. That is a key word. It's why I left it as a blank. Loving and serving are important terms here. But loving and serving God unreservedly. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now Israel, and of course that's his natural people, and we are his spiritual people. Now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require? There's a word that scares this culture that we are in. Don't require, don't demand, don't command. But the Lord doesn't mince words. He's not afraid to tell the truth and say it like it needs to be said. And so through Moses, he speaks to the people, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? And here are his expectations. But to fear, or reverence, or respect the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's the unreserved part. This is not what God suggests. The Scripture says this is what God requires because it's a part of our purpose for and with him. In the New Testament, Paul touches this loving and serving God in Colossians chapter 3. He says to believers like you and I, if you then be risen with Christ, he's talking about the resurrection of the new birth, having new life. If you have received the Holy Ghost, new life, in other words, seek those things which are above. Talking about priorities here. Seek things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And then verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Make sure you get, in the case of the analogy, the softball in there. And not wait until all the other things are in there. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. That word affection deals with and refers to our mind. In the first verse, he gave the action, what we're supposed to do, seek. We're supposed to seek first. But then in verse 2, this word affection is what occupies your mind. What do we think about consistently? And what we are always thinking about, that is a priority. And so that's why he said, set your thinking on things above. So really what Paul's saying in verses 1 and 2 is, seek heaven's priorities and think heaven's priorities. And as we think in our thoughts, if they are on this earth and temporal things and temporal goals, that's the way our life will go. But if we set our thinking or set our affection or our love on things above versus the things of this earth, we will be pleasing unto the Lord. Temporal things may not be sinful in themselves, but they can become sinful if they are sought and thought in preference to the things of God. In other words, what order do we have those things in? Where are they on the priority list? So we do have a purpose. Please God, love and serve God unreservedly. And I think that all of us, this can give us confidence, and it can encourage us. It can also inspire us. Every one of us tonight should understand there is a reason for our existence. I've talked to individuals, both young and old, probably more frequently older individuals who maybe have spent most of their years already, and they feel like most of their strength and their energies and talents and capabilities have been spent in the past. And so they would ask the question, why does the Lord leave me here? Well, for that individual, or even for any of us tonight who may be somewhat confused about our purpose, there is a reason for our existence. God knew you before you were even formed, and He has a specific purpose. I'm not worried about this lesson being selective tonight. What I am talking about right here applies to everybody. It's not a feel-good statement. It's not a build-you-up statement. If it does that, fine, but it is a true statement. He has a specific purpose. Carl Townsend said there are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why you were born, our purpose. And we would add a third important day, the day we were born again. Those 3 days are very, very important. And our job while we're here on earth is not to choose our purpose or choose our destiny. God's already given that to us. But what He wants us to do is to discover that purpose that He has placed us here. He wants us to discover the reason for our existence. We all know that many people search for fulfillment their entire lives and never find it because they fail to discover their purpose. And here's what we know. Our life is just not some mere coincidence. And if anybody is even thinking this way tonight, perhaps the Word of God can help to clear up and erase that kind of thinking in your mind. Your life is not a coincidence, but it is a part of His plan. And He does have specific assignments for each one of us. And I would just pose the question, do you know what your purpose is? Do you know the assignments? I've got a few sheets. I didn't make very many tonight, but it's a sheet that has 10 questions on it. And those 10 questions can help us to discover through prayer our true identity. It asks questions like, what is your deepest desire? What stirs your passion? What naturally flows out of you? It is so very important to discover our purpose and then feel comfortable in that purpose. I told somebody just yesterday, there is not a doubt in my mind about the calling of God on my life. There's not a question about God's purpose. That feels so good. That feels so fulfilling. It's inspiring. It's encouraging, it solidifies, and it causes us to be steadfast. So the important thing is to discover what God has for us. Putting God first in our life, it does many things, but at the top of the second page, here's what it will truly do. It will align us with God's purpose for our lives, because the priorities He wants in our lives, He wants those because of that purpose He has for us. So putting Him first will mean more than just checking a box to say, yes, I've done this or I've done that. But it aligns us with God's purpose for our lives. Here's what I would say about that. Yes, we should obey God's word and apply His principles because it's right to obey. It's the right thing. But here's something important. Inherent in every command that God gives, the thou shalt's, or you should do this, and inherent in every prohibition, don't do this, inherent in those is this is what is best for you. This is what will help you to please me. So we should not look at the list of here's what we should do spiritually and here's what we should not do just as a list. But we look at that as aligning us with the purpose of God. And he's saying, I've asked you to do these things or to not do these things so that you will be pleasing to me and it is the best thing for you. It's incorrect of you living by God's word and values as only I must obey a list of rules. The intention of God is for us to see his values, his principles, his laws, his word as going to put us in line with our ultimate purpose and help us to live a more fulfilling life both here and eternally. So I pose the question in part of the notes here, what are my priorities? What are they? And answering these questions will answer the questions, that question, what are my priorities? What are you preoccupied with? What is it that you cannot live without? What is it that is consuming you? What is your passion? And inherent in those questions is the theme question, what are your priorities? And I will leave those to you, and you could answer those yourself, question yourself, examine yourself with those four simple questions. So, what does putting him first look like? Let's bring it down into shoe leather here. What is it that we can do and that we should do? Your lifestyle, your values, your choices and decisions reflect your priorities. We could have a list of priorities and say, these are my priorities. But what really reflects and what really is the list of our priorities is our choices, our decisions, our values, our lifestyle. That's what reflects our priorities. Here's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, in other words, what you value and what is a priority to you, there will your heart be also. That's where your passions, that's where your love, that's where your energy, that's where your focus will be, where your treasure is. So our life reflects our priorities. And of course, Jesus is our example here, as he is in many other cases. We know that Jesus' life was perfect, and it was perfect in regard to putting the Father first. So we can look at the way he lived his life. We can imitate him. We can attempt to walk in the manner that he walked. That's what 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says. Consider him and walk as he walked. Jesus' life was characterized, and we're just pulling out a few of the characteristics of his life, what symbolized putting God first. It was characterized, first of all, by submission to the Father's will. Submission will always be an element of putting God first. And then there was service to others, and of course, there was prayer. We never read about Jesus pursuing worldly ambition, and he could have, should he have desired. He had every gift, every talent, every ability to make him the most famous and the wealthiest man who ever lived. But there was only one goal with Jesus Christ, and that was what we were singing about a while ago, the glory of the Father, the glory of God. All of us have been given time and resources and energy and gifts. We've got the knowledge of God. We've been given all of those, and that's not for us to gain influence, not for us to fuel pride, not for us to make money, but it instead is to multiply the glory that belongs to God for his kingdom and then to fulfill his purpose of seeking and saving the lost. So our blessings and what we have and the things that he has given to us, everything from finance to talents and knowledge of him, all of that is to give God praise and to give God glory. He sought first the kingdom. So putting him first, and here's where I just gave some very simplistic and basic practical applications of putting God first. This one's a no-brainer here. Putting him first looks like putting ourselves and others in a place other than first. In other words, it's not all about me. It's not all about my agenda. It's not all about what I want. There can only be one first. And so putting him first means putting ourselves and others in some other place other than first. It also, putting him first also looks like selflessness versus selfishness. And of course, all of these are probably tied together, but one and two here are tied together. Selflessness versus selfishness. Total commitment. Putting him first looks like total commitment. I've used this term. I don't know that it's really correct. I mean, it does describe sometimes the mindset or the actions of individuals, but really there's no such thing as convenient commitment. We're either committed or we're not. Either we are selfless or selfish. We either have ourselves in spot number one, or we have God and the needs of others there. And so here's what we can determine, and here's what we can focus on. I will love, I will obey, I will serve you, God, no matter the conditions or no matter the culture, no matter the challenges, no matter the obstacles. And we all know there's going to be obstacles. Our flesh is going to be the first one and the biggest one when we try to put God first. Our flesh, our mindset, and now this culture that we are in, saying, well, you need to take care of number one. Somebody used that term just this week, take care of number one. Well, God doesn't want us to disregard ourselves at all, but he does want us to put him first. And this putting God first and the submission thing, it chafes against the human spirit. It probably will never feel good or never feel easy until we have totally submitted to begin to do that, because there's just something in this flesh that resists that, wanting to put God first, because flesh and carnal mindset wants to be first. Here's another thing that putting him first looks like: a daily relationship with him through prayer, the Word of God, fasting. A daily relationship with him through prayer, fasting, and the Word. Prayer and reading the Scripture every other day, on Sunday and Wednesday only, when we have time, when we can work it in, fasting minimally, if at all. Those are all good actions in and of themselves, prayer, reading, fasting. But it is not putting him first. What putting him first looks like is consistent daily relationship. This is a relationship with God. And so he speaks to us in prayer. We get to be in his presence in prayer. He speaks to us through his Word. Again, it's about relationship. Our flesh will struggle with prayer and reading the Word if we do not see our life with him as a relationship. If we only see it as, this is what I need to do, this is what I have to do. But if we see our life as a relationship with him, prayer becomes easier. I purposely didn't use the word easy, because to the flesh, these things are not typically easy. But if we can press beyond this veil of flesh, as even Jesus had to do, we can have a life of putting him first, and it will look like it. Putting him first says, I'm going to make the time to pray. putting him first says, I am going to make sure there is consistent commitment and sacrifice of fasting in my life. I am going to make sure that I take and make the time to read the Word of God. When we do these things, prayer and reading the Word of God, we should not compare ourselves with anyone else. Compare ourselves with ourselves. I would suggest comparing ourselves with ourselves. Okay, let's take reading the Word of the Lord. What about other reading? How does the time that you spend reading God's Word or studying God's Word compare to your other times of reading? Prayer time. There is no way to set some kind of a time frame and a time element on this will make you holy. 7 minutes, 37 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes. There is no way to legislate that. But we don't have to be legislated in being with someone that we love. That just flows and happens. And so this is a relationship, and that's the way we can view putting him first. That says, I'm going to make the time to pray, read, and fast. And then putting him first looks like unconditional surrender or submission to God. Putting him first is saying, God, you know what's best, and I trust you. I may not understand everything. I may not be pleased with everything that you are asking me to do. But you know what's best for me, and I trust you. Those traits that I've just listed could be summarized by these last few points that I mentioned here in the notes. Putting God first is placing God as the center of our life and the basis for all decisions in every area of life. I'm not basing it on how much money it will bring me. I'm not basing it on how popular it is. I'm not basing it on all of those. The first basis is God and His values. And when you think about this, this is how we were designed to operate, with God at the center and as the basis. And if we do not operate in that way, we become off-balanced and off-centered and not in sync. And that's why the world and humanism and materialistic thinking and priorities create such an out-of-balance life, because God is not at the center. And that's how we as human creatures will operate the best. Really, it's to our benefit to put him first. Now, we should do it because we want to glorify him. But it wouldn't hurt to do it also because we know this is how you made it, Lord. This is how you made us to operate, with you being first. The second thing is the removal of anything that distracts from him or displaces him. And the principle is in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods where? Before me. No other gods in front of me. I want to be first. No other gods ahead of me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we should remove anything that distracts from and displaces him. Let's just take tonight, for instance. There were some other things on a list and other places that you could be. But you made it a priority to be where you are, in the house of God. And wherever anybody else is, they made that their priority. And so, you just said, it's not that you didn't have anything else to do tonight. It's not that you couldn't have found somewhere else to go and do. But you said, it's a priority in my life. And there's some reasons that it is a priority in my life. And so if there would be anything that would try to distract you or disturb or replace faithfulness to the house of God or any other value that we should have, those can be and should be removed. The third thing is, not only do we remove things, but we add values and add beliefs and add mindsets and add behaviors, and I would say add fellowship and friends that move us toward loving and serving and pleasing God unreservedly. Add values and thinking that moves us toward. Let me just help us here. When somebody is really trying to give themselves unreservedly to the Lord, be cautious never to ask this question, well, why are you being so totally committed? Why do you feel like you have? I would say, don't even pose the question. Don't even put the question in the person's mind. Now, I guarantee you, if they're really committed, they're not going to waver by somebody's carnal question. They're not going to. But we need to add things, add values and mindsets and behaviors that move us toward pleasing Him. The world will certainly tell us that the main priorities are be somebody, achieve something, live the good life. But really, all of that is a lie, because it doesn't bring true fulfillment, and really, most of the time, only pain and disappointment. But the life of a child of God and the life that puts Him first is characterized by moment by moment selfless service. Moment by moment, choice after choice, decision after decision, day after day. You know, the most successful way to live for God is every day. Every day. I thank God for every great special meeting and special service that we have, any special moves of the Spirit of God that come to complement and strengthen us and help us. But really, it's just an everyday, moment by moment choice of God, I want to put you first. Let's stand together. Crowded, full, yeah. And you can have all of those things in there. Nothing wrong with anything that was put in this life. But the important thing is we put God in first of all. And here's the deal. When God's in there first, He's going to help us with all the other stuff. The small stuff, the important stuff, all the stuff. Let's join together. And I want us just to sincerely pray and ask God to help us to see and then to be whatever we need to be in putting Him first. Lord, I'm thankful for Your will. I'm thankful for Your instruction. I'm thankful for Your word. I'm thankful for Your values. And they are the best for us in this life and in eternity. They will pay the greatest dividends. I pray that You would help us, O Lord, to remove anything, to add anything, and to align ourselves with Your purpose. And thank You, thank You, thank You for giving us all an opportunity to have an eternal purpose. Help us to fulfill that, Lord, and I believe You will. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet some folks around you. See you this weekend.